Praise God. Well, we spent a few weeks talking about whatever things are true. And let's go ahead and look on your sheet there for the sake of time. Philippians 4, 8 through 9. We're going to go a little bit further in that this morning. Philippians 4, 8 and 9 says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." In the New International Version, that same verse says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true," and then it goes on to say, "think about such things, but whatever is true." New Living Translation says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right, pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise." And we spent a couple weeks on that, and I can't review everything that we covered. So you can go back and listen to those on the website if you need to. But we're going to recap a little bit this morning. We've talked about that. Whatever things are true is what we're supposed to fix our thoughts on. We focus really on the fact that the devil, we spent some time last week, the devil, Satan, he is a liar. He's the father of it. We're going to recap a few scriptures. And that he goes about the whole world to deceive. That's what he does. And so we have to be aware of that, that all lies, they come from Satan, they come from the devil. All distortion of truth comes from him. And then we have to know that this is active in this world. That there is an attempt to get men off the truth, to look at things that aren't true, and as a result, to destroy men's lives, to get them to hold ideas that would be destructive, that would tear down other people's lives, that would promote ideas that are not godly. And that's exactly what the devil goes about attempting to do, because he hates God. He hates Christians and anybody that would serve the living God, because he hates God. So he takes what God made as good and he distorts it and he twists it, and that he can't come up with anything on his own. He's not creative as God is. He just destroys, he twists, he perverts what God has made. And we spent some time specifically talking about the fact that the devil does this. I mean, everybody knows that to a degree, but we went over a lot of scriptures that shows how he does it. And the fact is, we have to be not just aware in the back of our mind, we need to know that we have an adversary and what to do about it. Otherwise, we can be deceived and not know it, not know what's going on, and actually think that it's just a man's idea, or it's just some, you know, it could even be preached as doctrine. If we're not sure and we're not aware of this, these things going on, we're more easily taken in by some of these things. Let's look at your scripture. We're going to review a few scriptures, then we're going to go a little bit further. John 8, 44 through 45, it says, "You are of your father, the devil." He's talking to religious leaders here. "You are of the father, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him." Not just a little bit. Doesn't see he's just warped, but he's still, you know, got some good in him. There's none. He has no good in him. He will never repent. And we see that, we read some scriptures in Revelation to that effect. "Does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources." Or the word resources is italicized. This means it's not in the original. It's just there to help the translation. But really, it says he speaks from his own. "When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own. For he is a liar and the father of it." That means anything that's a lie originated with him. Men may think they come up with some stuff, but it's all It's all inspired by the enemy originally. I'm not saying everybody's demon-possessed or inspired directly by the devil, but there are things originally he was the person that came in to deceive Adam and Eve, to get them off, to bring destruction into the earth. The Bible says there was no death in the earth until we went after and sinned and went after Satan's lies, and mankind was deceived and destroyed. That's why when you look in the Bible and you see Adam living to over 900 years, Methuselah living 969 years, but you see it starts to go down rapidly. And then after the flood, you don't see it going much over 100 years. And that's where we are today. Why did that happen? Because people bought the devil's lies. It brought death into the earth. You have to take the word of God for the word of God. You either believe that or you don't. There was not death. God created it. How could there be? He didn't create a little bit of death in there. But the curse is on this earth since. And there was a flood. And that, you know, this world is not anywhere like it used to be. It's still beautiful in places, but it's not like it used to be. But there's a curse that is over the world. Because our ancestors listened to the enemy. And we went over some of that last week in Genesis. Or 2 weeks ago, last time. And he didn't stop there. Satan didn't stop trying to deceive men. He brought destruction into the earth by getting Adam and Eve to believe that God was a liar. He essentially called God a liar, even though he was the liar. And this is exactly what he does over and over. He will try to get you to question God's integrity. Try to get you to question what God said. You know, we read it. It's not on your sheet this week. But he said, did God really say you would die if you ate the fruit? And Eve's first response was, yeah. But then he said, but God, you won't really die. You're not really going to die. God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be open. So he started saying things that were twisted, and they took the bait. And look where that brought the world. And it's still continuing today. But that's exactly the way Satan works. He shows something shiny over here that's halfway true, partly true, trying to get us to take the bait. Say, look, believe this. But they're lies. And when he lies, he is the father of lies, the father of lying. That's why there is nothing more devilish than lying. Did you hear me?
Yes. Wow.
Being deceptive. Because you're being exactly like the enemy. To say something that's deceptive, to try to give an impression of something that's not true, is devilish. Revelation 12:9 says, so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And we spend some time in Revelation looking at some of those scriptures. The Bible says he's going to be chained up for 1,000 years, but when he gets out, he's going to go right back and do the same thing. He's going to keep deceiving the world. So he's not going to repent. He's not going to change. There is no good in him. There is no truth in him. He will continue to do the same thing. And he's doing it today. And he's got a lot of people following his lies in one way or another. And he will try to deceive the Christian. He will continually try to do that. We have to know that's what he does, and he's doing it now, today. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 2, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. Now, we've gone over these scriptures. I'm going over them pretty quick, but we've gone over these. You have to go back and listen to the recording if you didn't hear those. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light, light is truth. Truth, the Bible calls the word of God truth and light. Those who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So Satan, the God of this world, Satan is the God of this world, the God of this age, has blinded men's eyes, their hearts, so that they don't see the truth. Well, what would you blind it with? Lies? Getting men to go after and believe something that's not true? Blinded by things that would distract from the truth? Distract from living for God? There are so many people that are so taken up with things that are going to mean nothing at the end of the day, but giving their whole lives to them. You realize it's put in men to believe something? It is innate in us that we would believe in something greater than ourselves. You hear people say, well, everybody has to believe in something. Everybody has it built into us that we ought to believe in something, yes. But it isn't just, well, we ought to believe in something. Everybody's got to just believe. That's not true. Ultimately, we ought to believe in the living God. That's what that desire is to have a relationship with God and to believe in something greater than ourselves. It's His kingdom and His glory that we are supposed to be living for. But Satan substitutes. So he doesn't want anybody believing that, like what we just read, that the light of the gospel should shine and that people would come to the truth. So if he can get men to believe in all kinds of causes, whatever, give their lives to causes, have bumper stickers all over the back of their car about all these different things that they believe in, but they're not God, they're something else, but you know, we believe in this. That's in men and women to believe in something. And if Satan can give you to displace what is supposed to be a relationship with the God of heaven with something else to try to satisfy that desire for something greater and to be part of something greater and to believe in something greater and to have a hunger for supernatural things, if he can replace it with some deception or some fake thing, some perverted thing, that's exactly what he'll do. And that's what he has done. People, they go and they run after all these things that at the end of the day are distractions, are lies, are perversions of truth in some cases. In some cases, they're not evil in and of themselves, but they're distractions. They're things that are distracting people from actually running their race for God. Christians, non-Christians. They're running over here, giving all their heart and soul into these causes, into these organizations. Some noble, some that they're not doing evil things, but they're not doing, they're not fully under God and doing His causes. They are man's substitute to try to do something quote unquote good, but as a replacement, as a substitute so that men feel good quote unquote about themselves. But at the end of the day, it will be nothing because they're not running their race for God. They'll wake up one day and realize, I wasted that time. It's gone. Everybody is going to know the truth at some point when they leave this place. All of a sudden, the lights are going to go up on. You know, it's like we're in this movie theater. Some people are just watching a movie their whole life. Just they're not living life. All of a sudden, the lights are going to go on the theater, and everybody's going to see when we pass from death to life. I mean, you're going to live forever, but when you pass out of this realm, everybody's going to realize there is a devil. There is a God. And what we just got done doing, I wasted my whole life in either I believed on God and I'm with Him, or I bought a lie. And I'm going to have the same punishment as the deceiver himself. Said this many times, but hell is not made for men. It's made for the deceiver. It's made for him and his angels. But everybody that buys the same lie and won't receive Christ will have the same punishment. It's not God's will. Not at all. But all those that buy that lie, they're going to wake up and realize that was true. But at that point, it's too late. And then there's Christians that are born again, but they've bought lies. The lies have infiltrated the church over the years. I mean, there's whole areas of the church that are just a shell of what they were. Just a shell of what you see in the New Testament. And people explain away all kinds of stuff. Well, this is because they don't see it. They don't see it in their life. They don't see, they have to explain it away somehow. So people explain away whole sections of the New Testament. What is that? It's a deception. It's a lie. It's a replacement. Can't get you to get away from the truth. Well, how about this counterfeit? We'll just go with that. I'm not saying people aren't well-intentioned, but it's a shell. It's not the full truth. What is that? It's just the same. It's just more of the same. How are you going to know if something is true or not true? There's two ways. There's one that trumps the other. The Word of God is the number one way. The Word of God is truth. We spent other time just unwinding that whole thing. That's not really the emphasis today, but the Word of God is truth. And then you have the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of the living God that's going to bear witness with the Word and truth. Doesn't matter what any man says. Doesn't matter what any doctrine says. Doesn't matter what any denomination says. What does the Word of God say? And the Spirit of God will always bear witness with that truth. The Spirit of God will never, ever emphasize something or something come forth that is against the written Word of God. Ever. Some people have put a lighter emphasis on the Word and looked more to tradition and basically religion. And it's almost equal. In some cases, it is pretty much equal. In some denominations, they reverence tradition as much as they do the Word of God. That means tradition can change. Church doctrine can change, and that's like the new word. That's the Word of God stands for all time. You can't mess with it. And so people say, well, God's telling me to do this. The Spirit of God's prompting me. But it's absolutely contradicting the Word. That's never God. That's a lying spirit. It may be a spirit, may be supernatural, but it's a lie. Satan knows how to counterfeit. In fact, look on your sheet there. We'll just jump there. I'll get a little bit ahead of myself here. But look at the last scripture on your sheet. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 12. But what I do, I also continue to do that I may cut off the opportunity for those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, who end will be according to their works. It says Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. What does that mean? Tries to look good, but how do you tell the false from the true? Does it line up with the Word of God? And does the Spirit of God bear witness? Because people say, God told me. This Spirit told me. There would be There have been people that see an angel, quote unquote, see a vision, quote unquote. There are whole religions, whole areas that have been built on some person seeing some vision that they thought was Jesus or God, and it was and they build a doctrine on it, but it contradicts Scripture. But they say, but it was supernatural. It's God. It must be God. It's not God just because it's supernatural. The Bible says that Satan himself will transform himself into an angel of light. How are you going to know if what was said in a quote-unquote vision is true? It has to line up with the Word of God. I don't care who said it. I don't care where it came from. I don't care if they say they saw Jesus. I don't care if they say they saw gold dust or all these other things that are a lot of just worked up. There's a lot of weird stuff going on that people say, well, see, this means this must be true. It doesn't mean anything. There is a deceiver. A lot of that stuff is nonsense and not true at all. But then there are lying signs and wonders. There is a devil. There is a deceiver. And what does he do? He tries to deceive. He's supernatural too. He can pull off some stuff. But people will be deceived by it. Well, I saw a vision and boy, it was this and it has to be God. Doesn't have to be God. Doesn't have to be God. Satan is a liar. So how are you going to know? We're going to have to know by the Word of God, by the Word of truth. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Let's see, we could go some different places here. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians. Thank you, Lord. You guys are believing that we're going to get what we need this morning, right? 2 Corinthians 10. See, there are all kinds of things, all kinds of ideas in the world. The Bible said there are many voices in the world, none of them without significance. Second Corinthians 10, verse 3. It says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or natural, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now this applies in every area. Any thought that we would have, that it has to pass muster, does it, first of all, like we read in Philippians, to think on things, whatever things are what? True. Anything that passes through our minds, we ought to ask ourselves, is it true? This is the litmus test. Number one, is it true? And the Bible says here to do that with every thought. Now, it's like you have a filter. You know, you don't need to stop, go through a process, but at some thoughts you're going to know. After a period of time, this is a godly thought. But when something pops into your mind that would make you discouraged, would make you question something, would make you angry about something, would make you doubt somebody. The first thing we ought to ask before we go down the path of getting in a huff, of getting worried, you know, something could cross your mind and the result is fear. You realize you could have a thought. The devil doesn't deal in just words. And so much of what actually goes on in our brain, it's not words. They're images, impressions, sounds. Any parent ever had an image of something happening to your child flash through your brain? Hasn't happened. I mean, something bad, something negative happening to them, they're going to end up like this. Anybody ever had that? You don't have to raise your hand. This is going to happen. It just comes out of the blue. This passes through your mind. Some image or a mini movie of something. It could be 2 seconds, but something bad happening to them. What does that have the potential to do to you as a parent? What does that make you want to react? Depending on it, could make you react in fear. What? Oh my gosh, that could happen. That's you. The first thing you ought to say is that true? True based on what? You have to know. It could look like something that's possible based on what you know of circumstance. But what does God have to say about it? Now, I'm getting ahead of myself there, but just go back to the part about it being a truth or not. If it comes into our brain, something passes through. We ought to say we have to have a gatekeeper in our mind. I'm not talking about, so sometimes we've heard these things in like just things that would have to do with you pushing on in life, and I got to cast down those thoughts. Anything that would be against God's truth, we have to brutally knock it down immediately. We have to ask ourselves, is this thing true? Is it actually a true thought? Because you could have something pass through your mind. Or you see, this is why we have to be careful what we expose ourselves to, either in written form or in visual form, like a movie or a show, radio, the news, things that are about the news, you know, about the world events. Things that seem, that could seem, well, this isn't, you could think things are harmless, but the ideas that are pushed forth in those things cause thoughts to come into our minds, and we could react to something we hear, either in a movie, some thought, some image showing us the way certain things play out, and it shows something that is not based on God's word, and it shows somebody being happy in a circumstance, and clearly it is against what God would show in his word, yet it shows somebody being content and happy and just working out sweet, and then it can push thoughts into our head that, well, this is the way you should be, and see, it works out fine, and it's not so bad to do that, but is that true? You have to ask yourself, I'm looking at something that is an image and showing a circumstance, and it seems to contradict what I know, and it can make you question what you know, but you have to go back and say, is that true? Whose idea is that they're putting forth? Where did that come from? Something that you could hear on a something talking about current events could be talking about what potentially could happen in the future with the economy or with the world situation. It could put fear into you. But let me ask you a question. How many things have you heard over the years about what people say could potentially happen and it never happened? This is going to crash now. These people are going to attack now. People that we were concerned about years ago aren't even a concern now. Some people that we weren't concerned about, now we're being concerned. I'm talking about as a nation. There are nations that, you know, you look at what people said was definitely going to happen and follow biblical prophecy and things in the 70s, and look where that the whole thing has changed. But people were, if they reacted on that, could be completely in fear and, you know, shaking, and they're changing their life, and they're not going to get married, or they're not going to have children, because we can't bring children into this world. And this is back in the 60s and 70s. You know? We can't do that because it's just so bad. And it's going to get worse because listen to so-and-so. Well, yeah, the Bible says that it's going to get worse. But we can't react on things based on some man's opinion. You have to go back and say, well, is that what God says? Is that what the Word says? What is going to be the test of what we say is true, and let and to tend to let past our filter? It has to be based on the Word of God. And if anything would exalt itself against the knowledge of God, that means oppose, then the Bible says right here, it tells us what to do with those things. This doesn't just have to do with, like, you know, we've heard this in situations, maybe some of you, like if you're believing God for healing and you know the Word of God says that He Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses, but you have symptoms that say the opposite, then you need to believe what the Word of God says. But this applies in any area. You hear a theory or a thought or what somebody says, you have to go, does that line up with what the Word of God says? Am I going to accept that? Some people have ideas about what works and doesn't work with children and parenting. And there's been all kinds of ideas about that over the years. Well, you know, we just you name it. People have gone away from things that were based on the Word of God and said, well, this is, the latest research shows this. Okay? Is it true? I don't care what research shows. Is it true? Research changes all the time. You know that's the nature of research. Right. If new research comes out that trumps it, that becomes the new. But we don't have to wait and, you know, think about it. You're messing with people's lives here. I don't want to have a guinea pig that I got to wait 50 years to figure out if it turned out right or not. Don't have that kind of time. God's Word will tell us what works and doesn't work with children, and we can do it from the beginning. So if we have anything being told to us, and there is stuff all across the board, you can't do this, this doesn't work, this will damage a child's self-esteem. Spanking, for example. Not going to spend a lot of time in here, but I've talked about it before. The Word of God clearly teaches that. You don't believe me? We can go back and go through all the scriptures. But today's psychologists will tell you, no, don't do that. And we wonder why certain things are happening in this earth now with kids. And they don't listen to anybody. They won't respect authority. And the Bible clearly, go through Proverbs. Just read Proverbs and see how many times it talks about it. That went over. I know it's against, it's not politically correct. It's absolutely the truth, though. Well, I would never spank my child. Wait till they're 16, 17 and see what happens. Amen.
Amen.
But people will say, well, no, this is right. This is what, clearly, this is what the world or the research shows. Okay. Am I going to buy that? Is it true?
No.
Well, we have to determine that. There are things. Not against, you know, science, but not everything that calls itself science is science. There are agendas being pushed. We have to know that. True science, anybody can repeat the experiment. I loved physics. Physics was my favorite subject in high school. It took 2 years of physics. I love math, and physics was like, I love just Newtonian physics. You know how you shoot something through the air and the trajectory it takes through the air and all that math. I love that. You can repeat those experiences over and over. You know, this may seem counterintuitive, but do you know that in actuality, if you don't take into consideration air resistance, that a feather will fall the same rate as a penny. That's completely counterintuitive, right? You tell somebody that does not know that, and they'll say, no, that's not true. That is true. You know how you find out? Put it in a vacuum. So a penny. If you drop a penny in a feather, most people think the penny's going to drop like this, and the feather's just going to go like this. But if you put them in a vacuum so that there's no air, no air resistance, so why does the feather flow go slower? Because it's, you know, all fluffy, and the air slows it down. The penny just poof. But if you take the air out of it, you know what they do? They both just go like that. They just both fall. And it's counterintuitive, but anybody with the right equipment can reproduce that, and that's true. And you can't deny it. You can do it 50 times, and it happens every time. Not everything that's being portrayed as science is like that, though. Do you hear me?
Yes.
And it depends on certain fudge factors and models and stuff, and you cannot put it in a box and reproduce it. You can't do it with mathematical formulas. There are certain things that are way out there in the universe, but you can see the math behind it and you can prove it. There are other things that are being said, this is the way it is, but you're talking, you can't reproduce it. You're based on a model that you came up with, and then something changed. Oh, well, we forgot that in the model. I heard something like that recently. There was something to do with the climate change. And people said, I know I'm going in there. I'm not going to, just listen. But this, we have to know that everything that's being told to us is not necessarily truth. It wasn't that long ago. Maybe some of you heard about it. We couldn't figure out why certain things weren't as the way they should be based on the models. And they were forgetting to take into consideration the effect of like the actual ocean in dealing with some of the absorption rates. And it was several months ago. And that is what's going to happen over and over when you're basing things on things that are fungible and not have all the knowledge. And you can't portray certain things as immutable when they're not. Theories. Psychology. Well, we ought to treat people this way. We ought to do it this way. Okay, does that line up with Scripture? We have to know. If it lines up with the Bible, it will be true in every case. If we're basing it on somebody's psychology, then that can change. And research can change. But if we base it on the Word of God, it won't change. We can bet our lives on it. So we have to know when we're hearing all these ideas, all these theories, all these when we see these images that are not actual pictures, but they're manufactured. Girls, when you see these images, women, when you see these images that are put on magazine covers, and we all know it to a degree, but I don't think some people realize how manufactured they are. I mean, it's, you know, you have 15 people dealing with somebody to make them look a certain way in the right lighting, and then we change it post-production so that it looks like something is possible that's not actually possible. And you see people eating and just going about a normal life, eating this diet, when actually, to look the way they look, they're actually starving themselves. But you'll see in a movie somebody doing something that looks like they can live a certain lifestyle and yet still have it a certain way. There was something recently where there was a certain woman in a situation doing certain things with her life and looked like she could just do all these things at the same time and nothing would fall down, but it's just fiction. There's no way. It was showing a woman, you know, leading a certain area while having these small children, and nothing was changing. She could just do this and this, and it was just completely fabricated. It was not allocating real time for anything, but it was showing a picture of somebody doing something that actually in real life is not possible, and looking and eating a certain way, and it actually would not look that way after eating that way, and it was all fabricated. But what does it do when you see these things and have these thoughts come into your mind? Part of it will be, why can't I do that? This is, why shouldn't I, why isn't my marriage like that? See, they can do it, why can't I? Why aren't my children acting like that? They don't seem to put any effort there. They're not going to church, they're not training them, but look, their kids are working, are just doing fine. The kids are following a script. The spouse is following a script. The images that you're seeing aren't actually real. So what do I... What those images coming in are exalting themselves and saying, see, what you believe is not right. This works. But then we have to ask ourselves, and it can make you feel fearful. It can make you feel... You know, have you ever seen this as a parent? I love this. When you see... I mean, you'll see this in a certain story... Or a movie. I was being sarcastic when I said I love this. This is kind of funny. But you know, you'll have some person that is so troubled, like a child or whatever. You know, been all these different places, and you know, he just doesn't listen to anybody or whatever. And then, you know, you got some sage person in the movie that just kind of waltzes in there and then just gets to know the kid real quick and you know, acts a certain way and appeals to the person's likes. And then they're just saying stuff, and the kid just listens and automatically and just changes around. 5-10 years of going the wrong direction, but now he's just like, wow, this, you know, he just listens. And you're going, it doesn't work like that in the real world. I mean, the kid's a kid, and he doesn't, people don't do just 180 usually, right? And, you know, or... You're dealing with your kids, and you know they're kids. You know, they can be chatty in a certain area or whatever, and you got somebody that just comes in, and they just have them eating out of their hand. They show this image of somebody that just knows how to get with them, and, you know, the parent, maybe this, they're having trouble with the parent, but then this other guy comes in, and he just knows how to really relate to the kid. So now this kid's turning around, and even though he's a troubled person every time in class, now he just listens to this guy and completely throws out his own ways, and now, boy, this guy really knows how to deal with kids, and now he doesn't want to, and he is just the best kid ever, because all you really had to do is just find out he was interested in basketball, and if you talked to him about basketball, he was a great kid. That's all you needed to do. Is that true? It makes a good movie. But is it? But then, what does that do when you look at that with your and you're thinking about your kids going, "Man, what am I missing? I tried this and I tried that." And but you know, notice they won't throw in you showed them the Word of God, or you brought them to church, or the Spirit of God changed. That won't be there. It's just that I just needed to figure out this one thing to relate to the kids, so that then everything was okay and he would listen to me. It would never be that you needed to make sure the kid was not being self-centered, make sure the kid was actually listening to authority. You won't see that. It's more like you just have to know how to tweak the kid so he'll listen. What is that, though? Is that true? See, that's portrayed and shown to us that a certain way of dealing with people or others or children is right, when actuality, if you look at the reality of it, it's not real. It's an idea. It's an agenda. It's somebody's idea of how it ought to be, but it's not true. So then, am I going to base my parenting style on a movie? Or on another book I read? Or somebody's research? You know, I've read about some of that, or, you know, heard about some of these things where this guy, you know, people had research about stuff, and then their kids, they turned out horrible. But they're telling the world, and everybody's buying their book. Because the research shows, and they didn't work. Should we just listen to, you know, everything that comes down because it's the new? What if a you know, 10 million people buy a book? Does that mean that we better get that book because that's the way to do it?
No.
I'm serious. What determines what we're going to listen to? What determines what we let when it comes and hits our mind and we start feeling a certain way? How are we going to determine what is real? It's got to be based, does it line up with what God said? Period. If it doesn't, look at the scripture we were just reading. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments. Arguments. Notice that. You can go and argue with people about certain things all day long. It does not make it right. Just what if they have better arguments than you, or data, quote unquote? You get better watch what it is that they're, because data can be changed or manipulated to show basically almost anything you want it to say. Is it the whole truth? If it doesn't line up with the Word of God. See, people will say, well, that doesn't matter. I want to talk about outside of the Word of God. Let's put that aside. We can't do that as Christians. Well, let's just talk about it. Let's put that aside and just see about the evidence. People want to do that with God Himself. Forget what the Bible says. Now, let's say, can we prove there's a God? And all you have to do, the Bible says it's the Godhead is clearly visible in the creation He's made. Yeah, but let's prove it that it was God. You have to start now shutting down the natural inclinations in you as a human being to start going down that path, because our minds are going to look and say, there's got to be a God. There has to be. But you start listening to certain arguments and reasonings, stuff will start to make sense in this warped view and start to be self-reinforcing over here, to where people start going, well, yeah, there's not because of this and this, and there has to be proof here, and where's your proof here? And you start going around in circles, but it's all confusion because a three-year-old wouldn't know. Anybody with a garden, and I mean, I'm a software engineer. Let me tell you something. With intelligent people developing software, if you don't stay on it over a period of time, it will blow apart. It will not be consistent. You know that as well as I do with your home, with your finances, with any number of things that take organization with a child. If you don't manage it, if you don't have a purpose, you see, let's just see if we just leave our home and leave our yard and see how it looks in a year. It doesn't tend towards order. It doesn't. And you, we know anything that you do, you leave something, your car, just don't maintain it for 10 years and see how it looks and how it operates. But the universe and the human body and all these things just came and just reached this pinnacle of operation. Really? You really? I mean, you have, when you start down this path of these arguments, you have to go, wait a minute. Right at the beginning, if you just looked at it with just a normal human eye and with the Word of God, you would reject it right away. It wouldn't be a second thought. But the more we entertain certain arguments, it's just like you go into this tunnel vision mode. I know lots of people would disagree with that, say they're more educated, but you just can't get past that. It's just not even sensical to believe that when we as intelligent human beings with all our resources can't keep certain things on track unless we manage it, that this whole thing just went towards this orderly state. But people will get past that and start believing stuff, and is it true? Is it truth? Well, there's this proof and this. You got to be careful. What's the proof? So arguments is argument. I'm going to go back and debate and argue. That's not how we're supposed to arrive at truth. You guys hear me?
Yes.
Because I understand in our day and age, it's people that would believe something like the Bible and take it and say, the Bible says this, therefore I believe it. You would possibly be called ignorant, closed-minded. In other words, you're not open to other ideas. No, I'm not. I don't buy. You're not going to convince me that God doesn't exist. I don't care. What if I provide all this quote-unquote proof? I don't care. I already know him. I have a relationship with him. I've seen him in so much of my life. You can't convince me otherwise. I don't want to hear your arguments. I don't want to talk to you about it. No. Well, you're closed-minded. Okay. Closed-minded and saved. Closed-minded and in a relationship with God.
Amen.
Closed-minded and married. Well, you know, there's other ways to deal with relationships. And what about this and this? No, don't want to hear any of it. Sorry, I already saw what the Word of God says. You get married to one woman, and you stay and be faithful to her. Well, what? This looks pretty good over here. I don't care. You have to shut it down right there if we start entertaining things that, well, what about this? You want to be open and you know, with it, right? No. No, you don't. We need to shut it down. I know that is completely politically incorrect now. That is completely not the way our society is pulling so that we will be open to all kinds of things. And how do you know that religion's not true? Have you studied it? Have you gone down and seen all their tenets? Well, you know what? They look like what Christianity is. And how do you know they're just all not books written by men? I don't care. I know God. I've taken world studies and world religions. I know enough about God and know Him personally. I don't need to know that. Why would I want to spend my whole life investigating something that's false and come back to the reality that's true? You know what? If you know something works and you believe it, and you know what? Just get on doing it, because we only have a short time here. People say, well, I'm going to be open to reasonings, open to debates. I'm just open to any idea. Yeah, you're going to waste a whole lot of your life doing that. Well, I just, you know, I want to be intelligent. Well, it's got to be in the realm of the Word of God, number one. And people will reject that. Number two, even if it's in the Word of God, we do not have to go around. If you have an established truth and you know it, you've seen it in the Word of God, don't go and listen to things that would criticize it, be contradicted. You are going to weaken your faith. Now, I know in the intellectual, a lot of people have intellectualized Christianity, and it is all in the mind, in arguments, in reasonings, and what about this person, what this guy said. It doesn't matter. It's a spiritual thing. It is not a natural mind thing. You are born again. Your spirit is born again, not your mind. Did I say we shut our brains off? No. But when we know something is true, we need to shut it down. If we know a truth is in the Word and we've accepted it as true, if you mess with people going, well, I really want to understand all this so I can minister to people like that, you better be sure you're called to do that, and don't mess with anything that would go and criticize the very thing that you have accepted as true. I understand that flies in the face. People say, well, no, that's how people just get closed-minded and you get off. You have to be closed-minded about some things or else you cannot be strong. If I am not closed-minded that I should be married to my wife and her only, and I am always looking for other possibilities, I will not have the strong marriage that I ought to. You have to be closed-minded about some things. There is nothing wrong with being closed-minded and sure about the truth. Satan is a deceiver. He uses this very argument to push Christians off. Well, you want to be open-minded, don't you? Come on, that's a lie. Do you hear me? That very thing gets people to wander off what they were strong in. Well, and then this bait, well, you want to hear an opposing side. You don't want to be just so confident. What if that's true? If you know it's true and you have Scripture, if you entertain the whole opposite side, you may say, well, I'm strong enough to do that. You are going to, now, there are things, and this is exactly what 2 Corinthians is talking about. There are things that are going to come up in your understanding that maybe you did not consider, or somebody has brought another attack about another angle about something, and you are now going to have to deal with that in your understanding. It's going to be something that attacks you. When you are believing God for something If there is a contrary argument, well, what about this? What about this? It's going to come back and try to weaken your faith. Do you understand? Do you understand where I'm coming from? People will take this in our society and in Christianity. They have made it so that there is an intellectual element, an overly intellectual element about certain things, so that we have to just turn it around in our head and see, what does this person say? What does this person say? And people are not confident no longer in what they believe because they have so many ideas and so many arguments floating around in their head that they won't be solid, because the minute they go to make a solid answer, they're thinking, well, but I did read this guy said this and this professor said this and this said this. So what do you think about it? Well, I don't know. I can see all their points. What does that mean? You don't know what you believe. That's what it means. You're so broad and you want to believe, you want to entertain all these different things that when push comes to shove, you won't stand up on the Word of God because all these doubts are pulling at you from these different angles. There are certain things we need to be completely convinced of. That's called faith. When you have the Word of God that you've seen it in the Word, you need to know why you believe what you believe. Not because somebody just told you, because you've seen it in the Word and you've taken it in the Word. But once you see it in the Word, there should be no question. You don't have to spend the next decades entertaining all these other counter thoughts. You can move on to better things and greater things and build and use what you have accepted as true. Amen.
Amen.
This is a trick. Especially this area of the country is very much like this.
Yes, it is.
Now, there's nothing wrong with education. Thank God. But you ought to get educated in the area according to what God is calling you to do and go on and do something real with it. Not get education for education's sake. Not so that we, you know, there's this exaltation of intellectualism and understanding. Well, you're ignorant of that. Ignorant of that. Yeah, there's certain things I want to be ignorant of. The Bible says to not know about things concerning sin. I don't have to experience all things negative to know they're wrong. I don't have to go through and do them for myself to say, yep, that was a stupid idea. Now I just gotten out of prison 5 years later. I agree, that was dumb. Now let me try the next stupid thing. So then I'm going to use up my life and no time short. I'm going to use it up. And I didn't do one thing with it because I wanted to try. Now nobody would tell you it's a good idea to go and try to rob a bank or to try to, you know, commit some other crime to see if it's a bad idea because it's accepted. But some other people would convince you it's okay in a certain situation. But in intellectual things, people will just be open to all kinds of debate and weirdness and not put their foot down on stuff that they would accept. They would never say, well, let's just see, are you sure it's okay? I mean, it's sure it's going to be a bad thing if I have an affair. People succumb to that well, I know the Bible says it, but it looks like a good thing, or I'm under pressure, or whatever. Well, you know what? That's a very high cost to try that. Blow apart your whole life.
Yes.
To see. Yep. David. I saw David do it in the Bible with Bathsheba, and I guess it was as bad as what he said. I guess all the remorse was true. But now I have to experience it for myself. But in things of the intellect and ideas, people will try one thing after another and not just put that line in the sand and say, I don't care, don't want to know about it, don't need to know about it, don't care how flashy it is, don't care how new it is. I know it contradicts this word here and I do not need to know about it. Thank you. Done. But what comes with that? Strong faith. There are things that people are considering now that they would not have considered 150 years ago. But it's new. But see, if you have the mentality that stuff is always new and better, then that's a deception. The writer of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, said there's nothing new under the sun. But if we've succumbed to the deception that we're getting better and better as a human race, that's not even true.
Oh, right.
Yeah, there's some things that are technology better, but we are not reaching the pinnacle of humans on this earth. Not even close. Mm-hmm. Living 100 is considered a long time. That's nowhere near 900. If you think we're going up, you will succumb to the deception that certain things, maybe it's this way, maybe this way is better. Because why? Because you believe that things are better in certain areas. If you believe that we've fallen and that we're actually under a curse, then when somebody comes up with something new that contradicts the word, you say, no, thank you. I see something that was written 3,000 years ago and I accept it as the word of God, and it already said that's the wrong idea. You'll find it out in another 100 years, but I'm not going down that path. That is the wrong idea. That is immoral. That is not the way to go. I don't need to try it. I don't need to hear about it. I don't need to debate it. That's wrong. How are we going to be that solid? We're going to do exactly what it says here. Anything that exalts itself against the Word of God. Number one, is it true? Why do I think it's true? Why am I accepting it as true? Have I questioned where it came from? And if it contradicts the Word of God in any way, I cast it down. Let's just read the scripture and we'll close. 2 Corinthians 10:5. So it's in verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Notice it didn't say if you just debate it. It said cast down the arguments. If you know the Word of God says something contrary, that's your argument. No, the Word of God says this. Well, I don't care about the Word of God. I don't care. That's what the Word of God says to do. That's how I we'll probably get into that more. That's my mechanism for casting it down. I don't just cast it down and say, I don't want that to be true. You say, no, the Word says X. Therefore, this contradicts it. Therefore, I reject it. It says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. So that's the main thing I wanted to get over today. Just if we would ask ourselves, when something is causing us heartache, fear, distress, discouragement, depression, anger, ask ourselves, is this even true? Is what's making me fearful or heartache or having heartache, is it based on the Word of God? Is that what God said would happen? Or is it a lie in some way, shape, or form? Does it line up with what God said I have to have in life? Does it line up with what actually is happening in life? Does it even pass that first test? Is it actually true? If it's not true, I don't want to think about it anymore. I'm not going to think about how it might affect my life. I'm not going to think about what might happen if it were true, because it's not true. So I reject it. Done. That would keep us from having so much heartache. Amen.